let's roll another joint, turn the radio loud. I'm too long to be proud, and you don't know how it feels. You don't know how it feels to be me.
Good pick, Scotty. This is the Green Zone. Jamie Locker flying solo today. We are joined by Terry Koshan. He is a reporter with the Toronto Sun, and he covers the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Terry, thanks for doing this first off. But I don't I don't even know where to start. Should we start with Craig Berube? Has he lost the room?
Has he lost the room? I don't know about that. They were better last night in Dallas. They put forth a good effort.
Yeah.
A team who loses like you do in Nashville, if they had given up on their coach, I don't think they're playing like the way they did last night. I mean,
okay.
They carried the play for much of the game, right? And, yeah, you lose 5-1 in the end, and by no means is what I'm saying a moral victory. But I'm not in the room. I don't go so far as to say those types of things. I know that perhaps it seems that way, but I would, unless I have players telling me that, which hasn't happened, I don't know about that. But there's certainly a disconnect of some sort. Don't know that he's lost them, though.
So when Marner left, I'll admit, I thought, you know what, this might clean up whatever culture or locker room issues there might be, because it felt like there was a disconnect with him and some of his teammates, or at least that was the perception, and that was kind of the narrative that was being passed along. And I thought, you know what, maybe these guys will get it together and they'll figure it out and they'll go on a tear. They lost a 100-point guy, but I'm surprised they are. To be honest with you, I'm surprised that they're at where they're at right now, Terry. So I'm curious, is this a culture thing? Like, is there something wrong with the culture of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, yeah, there is, obviously, because they're not playing anywhere near the expectations. I would say this about Marner, though. I don't think that it was a Marner cultural issue.
Okay.
There was a photo of them, of 8 or 9 Leafs golfing 2 or 3 days after the season ended in Gallatin, but now north of Toronto. Marner's in that photo. He's not there if there's something wrong with him in the room.
Okay. Okay.
I certainly one of those people who was talking about it that way. So I don't really know, but that would be a thing. But obviously right now there is. And to me, it's more of, not so much a Marner's gone, but why haven't the people with the letters on their sweaters now been taking this thing by a storm? What I mean is Marner leaves. So that's a void on the ice and certainly in the room to a degree. If I'm coming back now knowing that we lost this superstar player and we didn't fill his spot, then I'm taking charge a lot more. And you haven't seen that at all, really. I mean, Nylander was pounding up the points there for a while. He hasn't been lately.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't seen that at all out of the captain in 88. And John Tavares, God love him, one of these guys who I don't really think knows how to take a shift off. Fatigue is catching up to him. He's not being as productive. But
yeah,
a cultural thing. Listen, it's hard to say. Maybe they're just not as good as we all thought they were going to be. And the way they're put together, they're just not good enough. I think one thing we have to keep in mind, we're not talking about a team that, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are finding their way after trying to get back to Stanley Cup victories that they had a couple of years ago. This is a team that in this era, has won in the first round twice. And they just haven't ever come to the fore in the
That's
playoffs
good point.
They needed to.
Yeah, I
don't know. Cultural, yeah, sure there is, I guess, to a degree, but they certainly don't have the depth they thought they did, because you take Tanev and to a lesser degree Carlo out of the lineup for as long as they have, and the defense core has on a lot of nights not been good. Now, you need 5 people on the ice to be connected, and that hasn't happened either, but the depth just isn't there. And, Berube in the lineup, one night Max Domi's on the top line, the next night he's healthy scratch. You take Easton Cowan out of the lineup last night, who was one of their better players in Nashville, I thought. And there's no, that makes no sense to me. He's a part of this, a future part of this team, and Max Domi isn't. So There's a lot going on, is the point. And I know it's a bit of a long-winded answer, but yeah, I think culture has something to do with it for sure.
No, I think you kind of nailed it, even though because it's not an easy answer to.
No.
It's not an easy question to answer. So you brought up the letter on the sweaters. Right. So let's dig into that, because when Quinn Hughes left Vancouver, and Jamie, he's got the week off. He's a big Canucks fan. We talked on the Green Zone, Terry, about Quinn Hughes. Listen, don't know him, never been in a room with him, and clearly one of the better players in the league. But was he the right captain for the Vancouver Canucks? And I wonder if you've got a similar situation in Toronto with Matthews. Don't know about his leadership abilities, don't know what he's like in the room, but is he the right leader for what Toronto needs right now?
It doesn't appear to be, and quite honestly, though the switch was made, you know, just over a year and a half ago now, John Tavares still speaks like a captain. That hasn't come out of his approach to anything at all. And, you know, the big thing, too, is that, Parker, one of the bigger issues, talking about culture, is these guys don't take accountability publicly for the most part. And if your captain's not doing it, then, you know, other guys, a little subconsciously, perhaps, maybe you look around and think, well, I don't have to either. Two of the more outspoken people in the past, I don't know, year, have been Chris Tanev and Scott Laughton. Neither one has been here long, Laughton especially. And in fact, he's, you know, with the injuries and stuff, he hasn't played nearly as much as he would like to. But, you know, coming out of last night, you know, perhaps the most upset of them. And just, I don't know, and you know what? I don't know, like, if they're accountable to each other behind closed doors, I'm sure that they like to think they are. You think you'd see more of that reflected in the way they play. But I know for a fact, I bet my house on it, that if these guys were a little more publicly accountable here in Toronto, that would go a little further with the fan base. And they just don't want to, you know, even say, okay, I never mind, you know, the process and we're getting there and everything that. Just come out, I'm not good enough right now and I have to be better, period. Austin Matthews isn't hurt, apparently. So what is it?
Yeah. You know? I was going to bring that up, Terry, because, I mean, that has been something that people have referred to, that maybe he's got a nagging back issue.
They say no. They say that everything we've got from the team, and, you know, he hasn't been asked about it for a while, but I've never had a back injury. I know people have had them. You're not playing professional hockey if you have any sort of back injury.
That's a good point.
You know, you can have a nagging this or that, but you know what? A back is something you're not messing around with, right? And for the most part, he's been in the lineup. So it's, I don't know. It's mind-boggling, his level of play. It really is. It's just, he doesn't, there's no taking charge like we used to see. I mean, there have been a couple of games this year where Pittsburgh was one earlier in the season, this recent one against Chicago, where, you know, they have a real hand in coming back, but it just happens so far and few between. And not even coming back, take charge from the opening faceoff. We're just not seeing that right now. And as a captain, like, I hate to say it, but that's part of the deal. I think who's making more money right now than Austin Matthews? Nathan MacKinnon, I think. The AAV, and you know, you're not anywhere near the top of the echelon, the upper echelon in the NHL right now. Not even close.
Terry Koshan covers the Toronto Maple Leafs for the Toronto Sun. Joining us, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I have a serious question for you, Terry, and I'm not being a jerk when I ask this, although it might seem like
Let me judge that. No, I'm
just that's you can tell me. Be honest with me, Terry.
Do
you think the press is part of the problem?
I don't. How would we be?
Well, again, this is, you know, the world that we live in. Everyone's trying to find.
I suppose, but the Toronto Blue Jays were crap in April and May. Garbage. They were below 500.
Yeah.
You know, was it because you know what? It's a weird analogy to make, but I don't know. I'm not sure that's an excuse. I don't think the front office doesn't see it that way.
Okay.
You're under scrutiny. Is it how could it be the fault of observers, that you can't win in the playoffs when you have all these 100-point regular seasons?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the Leafs year over year, these 9 years they made it in a row, have struggled to get there. They've been damn excellent during the regular season. I mean, last year they won the Atlantic Division the first time in years, you know.
Yeah.
And what? Now it's suddenly people are going to blame the media because they don't win in the second round of the against the Panthers. Media had nothing to do with games 5 and 7 against Florida. Now, I know I'm getting really specific here, and maybe you're talking a little more macro, but I just, you know, I don't see that. I really don't.
It is a little disturbing how often the media is blamed for issues specifically with hockey teams, right? In Vancouver, you hear it a lot. It's a narrative coming out of Toronto, so I thought I'd float it by you. I'm on your page, right? Like, if you have a problem with how the press, that's on you. You've made the press or the media the problem, and that's probably a bigger issue. Let's move on to something, and I don't know if you're going to be able to come up with something for me, but here, let's say we put Terry in charge of this team right now, and there's no one says anything to you about what the plan is. You just have to go in and you have to start making changes. Is there something you would do? Like, that's the frustrating thing about this, because I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, okay, the argument for firing Berube and bringing in somebody else, if you're looking at it and going, well, it's a systems issue, and people like Matthews and Nylander in a dump and chase world are not being given the proper opportunity to exploit their talents.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. The Leafs are terrible in possession now. They were much better under Sheldon Keith. You know, say what you will about the previous era, which again had a lot of really good regular seasons. So if you change the coach, is there an uptick there? But even so, say that you do, you're 6 points out right now. You could be in last place in the conference tonight if the Blue Jackets win. I think they're in LA. So then you fall to last. And, you know, before this road trip started, Locker, they were 6-2-2 in 10 games. So you win six, you get a point out of two others. So you're only leaving, you know, eight out of 10 games, you're leaving fairly happy. What do? You go lose three in a row. And, you know, that 6-2-2 didn't really get you much closer to a playoff spot. And now you've fallen even further behind. So for the Leafs to get back into that, they'd have to win 9 out of 10, it seems, because every other Eastern Conference game right now between two Eastern Conference teams seems to be going to overtime. Point of all that is there a new coach who's going to come in and say, and going to suddenly turn them around that way? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go back to your very first question, as he lost the room. Maybe if there's a little bit more to that, then yeah, you do make that change. But I'll tell you, if that happens and you're one of Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, or Riley, you've been here. This will be your fourth coach now coming in, whether it's Peter DeBoer or they promote Derek Lalonde, or you press the explosion button, you hire John Tortorella.
Oh, that's please make that happen.
Well, can you imagine? You know what?
That in Toronto?
Yeah, that would be pretty amazing.
Now I have something to wish for.
Oh yes, well, hey, it is the Christmas season. But you know, these guys who've been playing for their fourth coach and never having won a damn thing, like at some point, my point of all this is the players have to be held accountable. And I know, but I don't mean by you or me or anyone else, but the front office. And I think we're going to get to that degree if this losing continues, whether a coaching change is made or not. But the fact of the matter is, they've all got no move clauses. I don't know what you do there.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. Terry, I was going to ask a question about ending on a positive note. Like, what are the positives? But I think we just did. We all can now hope that John Tortorella gets put into that dumpster fire.
Yeah, I don't know that. I'm not sure about that. A positive, what would one be? There really aren't any right now. Because, you know, it's not a... You know, people say, oh, why didn't they go for the home run in the offseason? Well, whether people were available or not, I mean, you traded two first-round picks and Fraser Minton, who's going to be a real good player, real good bottom six guy for the Boston Bruins for a decade, to get Scott Laughton and Brandon Carlo, and this is where we are. And if you believe some of these things, then they were trying to trade Carlo all summer. So the positives, there aren't really many right now. Maybe the only one you can come up with is, and it's lame, is there's a lot of hockey left, but it won't matter if they don't start turning it around, like Lawton said last night, more or less immediately.
I like Nyes. He hasn't looked great lately, but I still think there's something there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I like Easton Cowan. So there are some of these guys, but you know, and the goaltending hasn't been bad either, right? Joel Wall and Dennis Hildeby Locker have been pretty solid. So there are these things, but, you know, rightfully so, any positives right now should be falling on deaf ears because they've been terrible.
Terry, appreciate the time. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Good.
Terry is a reporter for the Toronto Sun and covers the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you want to weigh in, text line is open, always. Green Zone Fan Line, 877-332-8255. What's wrong with the Leafs? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Stop, and I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite. I just might stop to check you out. Let me go on. Like I glister in the sun.
The Green Zone. Jamie and Locker, a Nyla show today. Britton Gray, our Riders reporter, jumping in back from a trip to Mexico. You got a little bit of sun down there?
A little bit.
How was the weather?
There's good weather, a little bit of rain. And there was one day where there was some lightning that closed down the pool for a little bit. So, you know, a little disappointing by that. But during Riders season, I get a good base tan on throughout all the sunny days out there. So
there you go. There you go. All right. Well, it's good to have you back. Hopefully you're all inclusive, lost a little bit of money with your trip down there. Green Zone pick 'em pool. Let's start there. You're our boat anchor. We got 2 weeks left here, Britton.
I think I had a pretty good week this week.
What are you talking about? You only had two right.
That's a 50%. That's a pass.
All right. Well, you're still you're bringing up the rear. Actually, Jamie had a good week. The two of you have been sort of going back and forth for who's worse. But he went 4-0.
In my defense, I did have to send producer Scott those picks from the side of the pool in Mexico. So.
Excuses. All right. Let's jump into a weird story quickly, just in case anybody hears this and goes, what, the Chiefs are moving? So we saw that today, and it's a bit confusing because if you're unaware of the geography of Kansas and where the Kansas City Chiefs play, they are separated by a state border. So what's happening?
Well, it's official now. The team has come out and said it.
Okay.
So the lease in Kansas City, the Missouri side, runs out in 2030. And because there wasn't a deal reached to improve Arrowhead to do the upgrades there.
Okay.
The other side of Kansas City in Kansas, because it's different governors, different mayors and stuff, said, we'll put in a bid. So now they're moving and a new stadium's going to be built 20 minutes away from where their current one is.
Are you kidding?
For billions. I've been kind of doing some research as throughout the day.
They have money.
Like a $3 billion possible project. Never mind what else they have to build out there, reportedly. So they're moving from Kansas City, the Missouri side, to Kansas City, the Kansas side. It's like Lloyd Minster. What team moves from Saskatchewan side of Lloyd to the Alberta side of Lloyd?
It doesn't really change much for football fans. I mean, you're still, it's not like they're going to change the name of the team. They're not going to change colors. They're not going to, although Arrowhead, right?
That's the history. They talk about it's one of the loudest stadiums to play in. And just when a team is having this much success right now,
this is crazy.
You
got to
imagine like the tourism dollars Missouri was getting.
Yeah.
All the people coming there because they would get that money, not the Kansas side of that spot, city, from what I gather. So it's interesting. It's a weird thing, and it's just, you know, some rich people lose some money now, I guess. Some other rich people get more money there.
This is really dumb. I'm trying to figure, what's dumber? This or taxing your city 11%? Which is dumber? I'm going to go with 11%. All right. Let's take a look at the playoff implications. First, let's jump into the Monday nighter because the 49ers, with what happened this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, and this is not easy to keep track of, it's been a crazy year this year, but the 49ers have already clinched a spot, but they could end up at the top of the division with a win tonight, right?
Not quite a win. They need some help, but if they win out, okay. They actually have the path to the number one seed right now. Seattle beating L.A. opened up the door for the 49ers to finish first as well, where Seattle currently has number one seed.
Okay.
So lot of implications as the Niners continue to roll here. So, as you mentioned, they're clinched. That division is wild.
That is a great division. Crazy division,
but
right?
It's big for the Niners because they still do have the number one overall seed still in their grasp.
Okay, so let's keep focused on the NFC right now. Outside of the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks, who have clinched playoff spots, you have the Bears, and let's focus on the Bears. How did the Bears get there? The Bears at the top of the NFC North
beat the Packers. That's what they had to do. They handled business. Caleb Williams he's becoming a really clutch quarterback. When you look at what he's done at the end of games,
yeah.
Once again, to lead that comeback, get a little help with the onside kick, but to lead that comeback and do what they did, he's really looking like he's figuring it out here under a new head coach there, Ben Johnson.
Surprising with the Eagles they're not bad. They're 10-5, right? The Eagles have clinched, but they're just not the team they were last year.
That offense doesn't instill any confidence. When you look at what they're doing,
they're playoff bound.
That's because, and I'll say this as a Cowboys fan, that division sucked this year. They've won the division with 10 wins already. They've already clinched that division because the Cowboys were terrible to start the season. Of course, the Giants might be drafting a new quarterback after Jackson Dart had, 13 passing yards?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. The Commanders dealt with injuries. So the Eagles got a little lucky that the NFC East was really bad this season.
So we can eliminate the Vikings, the Cowboys, the Falcons, the Saints, the Commanders, the Cardinals, the Giants. We got a couple of teams in the hunt. Mm-hmm. The Lions, with their loss, that doesn't look good. That's less than 10%, right?
Yeah, you need a lot of help if you're the Detroit Lions now to make playoffs. They've got a winning record.
Yeah. Right? And they're out practically. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a losing record, and they have a playoff odds of 58%.
Yeah, that's because it's going to come down. Carolina, the biggest surprise of the football season, the Carolina Panthers and what they've been doing recently.
Yeah.
Maybe Chicago Bears as well, but they are leading that division. They came out and beat the Bucs. I didn't think they would beat the Buccaneers, and they continue to handle business, and that's why it's 58%. It's going to be a real fun final week of the season when those two meet up again. That's going to probably decide that division.
Okay, so now let's move over to the AFC, and we'll just get rid of the teams and the teams that are out. The Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Jets, the Browns, the Titans, the Raiders. And with the Chiefs not being in the playoffs this year, this makes the AFC wildly entertaining. Let's go through the teams, Britton, that have clinched division leaders in the AFC. So you've got the Broncos, 12-3. Have they got a chance of finishing first, or are you going to give that to New England?
I think New England's going to figure it out. Drake May's playing like an MVP, but Bo Nix playing well enough, but he's not the reason that team is winning. Mm-hmm. Drake May is the reason the Patriots are where they're at. Of course, the Broncos just lost. Their first game since September. They were on a roll of just winning games.
Yeah.
They've lost. New England... Mike Vrabel, he's come in and just really got that Patriots culture back in that locker room, and it's working well. Drake May, I think they'll end up finishing first place overall.
Do you like the Jacksonville Jaguars? Do you like the Jags? You do? Okay.
I'm a big Trevor Lawrence fan. Okay. I've been waiting for him to kind of take this step and really show what they can do. Looks like they finally found a head coach in Liam Cohen who knows how to handle quarterbacks, who knows how to develop guys, and it's really starting to pay off. I don't know. I don't have the Jags going to the Super Bowl, but I like them that they're in a playoff spot. I think they'll keep that playoff spot because, well, we'll talk about the Colts. They're really falling off.
Well, let's jump right into the Colts. Colts play tonight, and if they beat the 49ers, their odds would go up a bit, but they're in trouble with Old Man Rivers. At an 8-6, which is crazy, too, to think, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. They've really fallen off. Injuries to the quarterback position doesn't help.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers looked terrible out there when he was playing. They nearly won. Credit to them for being in that game and nearly winning, but he doesn't look like he's thrown a football in a long time at a competitive level. And also, speaking of that division, of course, the Houston Texans, that's another team. That defense is real good in Houston.
Yeah. They have a wild card spot that they're sitting on right now. The Ravens, no, they're done, especially with Lamar out again.
Yeah. Like,
that's it, eh? We can count them out.
I feel like it at this point, especially credit to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I did not have the Pittsburgh Steelers being this good this year. Maybe
come on.
Maybe too much Aaron Rodgers hate.
Maybe.
But We'll see what they do in the playoffs.
So what chances do you give Pittsburgh? Because they lead the AFC North.
Mm-hmm.
Are they one and done in the playoffs? Because that's where Jamie's at. Nye's at that.
I am too. This is classic. Okay. The Mike Tomlin past decade or whatever it has been.
Yeah.
You get into the playoffs about 9-10 wins, and you lose out just because you face really good teams come the playoffs.
All right. And then you got the wild card teams, the Chargers, the Bills. We've already touched on the Texans. What do you think of the Chargers' chances?
I really like it. They could still finish first in that AFC West there. Justin Herbert. Now, it was against the Dallas Cowboys defense, so take it with a grain of salt because that unit has been terrible all season, but he's really taken a step forward as a quarterback. It's really looking like he's finally getting the wins to go along with the stats. He's making the plays. He's having big rushes when it needs to. The Chargers are going to be a dangerous team in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. What about my Bills?
Josh Allen, first of all, he ruined two fantasy football matchups for me because he put up pretty much no points in my semifinals. Was terrible. Thanks for nothing, Josh Allen. And he's hurt right now. He was limping throughout a lot of that game there after he got that one run.
I'm worried about my Bills. I have been for most of the season. I mean, they're doing well. They got an 11-4 record, and they're going to be in the playoffs, but they're not the team. They're like the Eagles. They're not the team they were last year either.
It really feels like you
got a chance. The Chiefs are out of it. What's going on?
I know, and you need Josh Allen to pretty much be Superman in the playoffs, and I'm worried if he's hurt, he can't do that.
I do like how they have incorporated Cook into that offense, though, this year. And I think that's saved them. I think James Cook has saved them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a question we were chatting this morning in the Green Zone Lounge about all the sports you can watch during the holiday season. So here's the question for you. Do you watch sports with your family, Britton, or do you use sports to avoid your family during the Christmas break?
I mean, I watch it with them.
Okay.
Now, a few of us do try to get out, and especially if we're together on Boxing Day, we like to go down, watch the World Juniors, put that game on.
Yeah.
NFL's on. I have lost a couple arguments if it's not at my place or at my brother's place. I don't necessarily get the NFL game on if we're eating supper. It's eat here, go watch it another time. So I have lost that argument.
That's funny. All right. That is our discussion today. And the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255, is open. Britton, thank you for your time today. So give me a call on that as well. We're getting a lot of texts about the Leafs. What's wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs? If you want to weigh in on that, this is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. An appropriate tune for the Leafs discussion, especially in December. It has been ugly. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker on my own today. Jamie taking a couple of days off. We're in the middle of a discussion about the Leafs, so I will take your text, your calls. The Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255, is open. Also, do you watch sports with your family? Or do you use sports to avoid your family during the Christmas break? That was a conversation this morning we were having in the Green Zone Lounge. I'm going to share my thoughts on this in just a bit, but full disclosure, I never miss the World Juniors. Never miss. I've been watching that since I was a kid, like 7, 8, 9 years old. I've been watching that tournament forever. Was it around when I was at? No, it was. I'm trying to remember what year that started. Anyway, I got to look that up. Also, if you want to weigh in on what's wrong with the Leafs, again, the Green Zone fan line, 877-332-8255. This is from Trevor. I love how the Maple Leafs media guest brought up the Leafs golfing day after they were eliminated from the playoffs. So that's just poking a little bit of fun at, and the funny thing, the interesting thing about the Marner conversation, and this has happened a couple of times on the Green Zone, when Jamie and I have had somebody on from Toronto and we've tried to, I don't know, vilify is the wrong word, but try to portray Marner in a negative light, you immediately get the media guys defending him. Now, I don't know if that means that Marner was great in the locker room and a fantastic teammate, or he was really good with the press. But that is a common theme. You did get people vilifying him online, right? And he got a lot of abuse online, and it was one of the reasons why he said he moved to Vegas. But the media guys, almost to a man, defend Marner when they get a chance. So that's always an interesting angle for me. Brad from Speedy Creek, why the Leafs are so bad? He sent me a meme. Now, AI can be very cruel. And I'm not going to get into explaining the meme that he sent, but I will say this. I think he was suggesting the team is a little bit soft. Again, we will continue our conversation about the Leafs, what's wrong with them, and do you watch sports with your family, or do you use sports during the Christmas break to avoid your family? 877-332-8255.